Scripture reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. And while you're turning there, let me kind of catch up on things. Last week, we got left kind of hanging. We heard about Paul's love for this church, and he was separated from them, but he was wanting to, he missed them and was wondering how things were going. And at the end of the verses last week, he says, man, he was worried about how things were going. He was afraid they had faltered in their faith. And so he had sent Timothy there to find out about how things were going because he had such a concern. And now, after he'd been wondering all week what maybe happened, we find out the results this morning that Timothy brought back. So beginning with verse 6. But Timothy has just now come to us from you, and he has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you have always have pleasant memories of us, and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now, we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Let's join together in prayer. Oh, Father, thank you for these encouraging words and the excitement Paul and the others must have felt as Timothy returned, telling them what happened in this Thessalonian church. And Lord, as we think about this passage today, may we realize that our faith affects not only us, but others. Especially for those, Lord, who have been involved and are coming to you and in our growth. And might we, too, remember those and be thankful for what they have done and how you have used them in our lives. And may we find excitement in the lives of others, too, who have come to you. For we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. We have been looking at a number of verses here concerning, at least in chapter 2 and 3, concerning how to be an encouragement to one another, and we should. But this morning, we're going to see, as Jim kind of alluded to, that our faithfulness in the Lord does have an effect on those around us, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Last week we saw that Paul had sent Timothy to Thessalonica because he was very concerned about their spiritual well-being. We noted that he broke the silence, he bestowed encouragement, and he braced for potential trouble. He was ready for a less than glowing report to come back from Timothy, because really, virtually every place that Paul planted a church, Jews came in after, false teachers came in after, and led many of those new believers astray. Well, this week, at least as we read about here this morning, as Timothy returns, Paul receives a great report, an amazing report about their steadfastness in the faith. In fact, let me read to you verse 6 again. He says, but now that Timothy has come to us from you, he brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. And we're going to see today that because of this great report, Paul's ministry, Paul's team, his ministry team, their service to God is actually encouraged by this report. It is strengthened by this report. To hear about the faithfulness of these Thessalonian believers whom he worried may have faltered in their faith, to hear about their faithfulness now actually edified and energized Paul in his faithfulness to the Lord. I shared with you last week my story about Julio. And is a fellow that I met on a flight from Peru to Costa Rica, and how it had been, I was actually able to lead him to the Lord as I spoke to him there, and it had been such a long time since I'd made contact with him that when I could stand it no longer, well, really, as Paul convicted me that I could stand it no longer, I made contact with him to see where he was in his faith. And I read to you part of the email. Actually, I read to you the whole email last week. And we learned that since we had parted ways, that he had been deceived by some false teachers and had been taken advantage of greatly. And reading that news made my heart break. But he ended the letter on a good note. He ended his letter by thanking God for allowing him to go through that so that he could see that the only one that he can truly trust is God. Well, the ending of that letter, the beginning of the letter broke my heart, the ending of that letter encouraged me. It was meaningful to me. I was grateful to hear that news, and it made me desire to help him all the more. So I wrote an email to a church planting ministry, Brazilian Gospel Fellowship, to see if we could find Julio a good Bible teaching church in his area. And my request, as I followed the email chain, they started sending the email to other people. My request, as I followed that email chain, ended up going through at least 6 different contacts before it came to a fellow who is now in Johannesburg, South Africa, who was a missionary in Julio's Brazilian state for 25 years, and he pointed me to a pastor of a church in Julio's city in the borough right next to the one that he lives in. And we were able to find him a church to go to. Don't know if he's gone to it yet or not, but as I look at this, while Julio's letter did not begin on a positive note, it ended with some good news that encouraged me. It meant a great deal to me. It caused me to rejoice and be grateful that he had returned to following Christ. And it made me earnestly want to help him all the more. The good news of his faith energized mine. It energized mine. And this morning, by seeing how some good news edifies Paul's ministry, we're going to learn how our faithfulness, our personal faithfulness in the Lord, can actually edify and energize our brothers and sisters in Christ. Our subject this morning is what your faithfulness does. And we're going to look at this passage verse by verse this morning, but perhaps you had no idea the impact that your faithfulness or lack thereof has on your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, this morning, we're going to look at the positive aspects because I want us, in our own personal faithfulness to the Lord, I want us to glorify God. I want us to have an impact on our brothers and sisters. And we're going to see that this morning. We're going to get a taste of that. But right now, in verse 7, we're going to see the first way that Paul was edified by the faith of these Thessalonian believers. Look at verse 7. He says, "Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith." And the very first way our faithfulness toward the Lord edifies and energizes our brothers and sisters in Christ is it inspires courage to continue. It inspires courage to continue in others. As we have courage to continue, as we are faithful to the Lord, it inspires that in other people. Now, it's not that Paul and team were thinking about quitting. Rather, seeing the courage of these new believers, even in the face of the adversity that was coming their way, that enhanced. It inspired. It inspired courage in Paul and his team, even in the face of the afflictions that they themselves were facing. Our courage inspires courage in others. When my son was first learning to walk, it was a long, slow process. And he would take a step or two and then immediately fall down to the crawling position. That was until we spent a day with some friends of ours who had a daughter that was a little bit older than he was, and she was walking all over the place. Well, by the end of the day, he was walking. her courage to walk was an inspiration to him. Well, in our passage, Paul and team were encouraged in two connected ways. First of all, they were encouraged about them, encouraged about these Thessalonian believers. To hear this great report about their work of faith, their labor of love, their patience in hope, even in the face of those who were coming against them, it told Paul and team, these new believers, they are standing fast in the Lord. They didn't give in to the pressures of the world. They didn't give in to false teachers. They didn't give in to persecution from the Jews. They didn't even give in to the temptation to be silent about their faith. No, they trusted God and loved people enough to continue proclaiming the gospel. Paul and team were encouraged about them, but also they were encouraged by them. If they will continue, even through affliction, we will. We can. And the interesting thing about the statement in verse 7 is that one of Paul's biggest distresses was not really those who were coming against him. But rather, he was distressed about those who were coming against these Thessalonian believers. And now that distress, that affliction, has been eased a bit through this good report. He's learned, no, they're holding their own. They're trusting in God. They're standing strong. As a pastor, one of my biggest distresses is your spiritual safety. I worry sometimes, and I know I shouldn't worry, right? But I do. I worry sometimes that someone might come along and mislead you and teach you something that is contrary to what God says, and you might believe it. I worry about that, and I worry not because I don't trust you. It's because I don't trust anyone. I don't trust myself. Nobody's immune to this. Nobody is immune to false teachings. And so I worry about that. Now, you and I, most of us in this room, we've got a lot of teenagers here too. But for those of you that are older, I will tell you, I worry about you a little bit less because old people are set in their ways. All right? That can be a good thing. That can be a bad thing. All right? But I'll tell you where I worry about it even a little bit more is with the youth group. Because young people, they're more willing to learn than those of you and I that are older, okay? And that can be a good thing and a bad thing too. Let me just share this with you. We had a young believer in our youth group that I knew was in close contact with someone in a false religion. And I got to tell you, that distressed me. It distressed me. But one night at youth group, she recounted a conversation that she had just had with this person of this false religion. And in the course of that conversation, she stated a truth from God's word to that person that we had discussed just the week before in youth group. There are few things that encourage me more than to hear someone that I got to teach a truth from God's word repeat that truth to someone else. The fact that she stood strong in the faith was an incredible encouragement to me to keep teaching it. The Apostle John, he said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Our faithfulness in the Lord gives others courage to continue doing what the Lord has called them to do. The second way that our faithfulness edifies and energizes our brothers and sisters in Christ is it makes ministry more meaningful. It makes ministry more meaningful. And I want you to know, I am emphasizing the word more, because results in ministry is not what makes a ministry meaningful. Okay? Doing what God has called us to do and glorifying Him in the process, regardless of the results, is what makes ministry meaningful. However, results in ministry certainly do make it more meaningful to us. John said, "I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth." I have had a great time hunting and fishing, even when I didn't shoot or catch anything. In fact, there have been many more hunting and fishing trips in which I got nothing than there have been in which I got something. But I will tell you that those trips in which I got something were more meaningful to me than those in which I got nothing. All right, you understand the process here. This is what I'm talking about. To actually see growth and faithfulness toward God in those that we are not only ministering to, but ministering around, that makes our ministry more meaningful to us. It's like a parent. It is fulfilling for a parent to see their little children actually doing what they were taught to do by their parents. It's even more fulfilling when we see our children do or say something to someone else that we taught them. Okay, they're actually passing on some information that we got to teach them. That is fulfilling. Seeing faithfulness makes our ministry more meaningful to us. Look at verse 8. He says, "For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord." Couple things here. Faithful believers is what Paul and team lived for. Faithful believers is what Paul and team lived for. There were churches that Paul planted that didn't do so well. And of those churches, he asked, "Did you believe in vain? Did you not understand what we were saying to you? How could you depart so quickly from the gospel to another gospel that's no gospel at all?" Paul planted churches that didn't do so well. But here he says, "Now we live. Now we live. Since you Thessalonians are standing fast in the Lord, this is what we live for. This is always our hope. This is always our desire, our goal. This is always our greatest joy, to actually see those that we have taught standing strong in what they have been taught from God's word." Faithful believers is what Paul and team live for, and faithful believers is what these Thessalonians were. The "if" in verse 8. Your translation might actually read since instead, but that is what the if means. It's not a condition, it's a statement. He says, for now we live, since you are standing fast in the Lord. And again, they didn't give in to the pressure of the world or false teachings. They didn't give in to the persecution of the Jews. They didn't even give in to the temptation of being quiet about their faith. No, they trusted God and loved people enough to continue proclaiming the gospel. They stood fast in the Lord. Our faithfulness, Our standing fast in the Lord is actually something that can energize our brothers and sisters in Christ to do the same. And our faithfulness in the Lord can actually make ministry, the ministry of those around us, more meaningful to them. It can edify them. To the Philippians, Paul said, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. And here's what I really wanted you to hear, so that I may rejoice that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. You see, our faithfulness to the Lord gives, it not only gives others courage to continue, but it makes their ministry more meaningful to them. And thirdly, this morning, and this may sound a little silly initially, but you'll see why I worded it this way, it causes gratefulness to gush. It causes gratefulness to gush. Look at verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God for you? For all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God. Paul and team, their praise was overflowing. Their joy was overwhelming. They gushed with gratefulness because of the faith and love of these Thessalonian believers. And with that, allow me, please, just to get a little bit personal with you. Many have said that this letter from Paul to the Thessalonians is probably the most personal letter that Paul has ever written, because he truly shares his heart here. But I want to tell you that there are times when I am just taken aback by how I see God growing and using you. There are times when I am overwhelmed as I watch your faith and your growth in the Lord. Sometimes I don't even have the words that are sufficient enough to express my thanks to God for you. There have been times as Janine and I have prayed together at night where we mention your name. We mention you personally. And then we're silent because we don't even know how to sufficiently express to God our thanks for you. Well, that is exactly what Paul is expressing right here. We can't thank God enough. My translation words it as if Paul is asking for sufficient words to adequately express his thanks to God for these believers and the report that he's just received. But here are three details about this gushing gratefulness, okay? First of all, they were grateful to God. They were grateful to God. Paul is not taking any credit for what was happening in the lives of these believers. Nor is he giving credit to Timothy, who went and visited them. He's not even giving credit to them themselves. Paul understood that only God deserves the credit for their growth and their faithfulness. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 3:7, he puts it this way. He says, "So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." So they were grateful to God. The second detail about this gushing gratefulness is they were grateful for them. Grateful for these Thessalonian believers. Not only had they shared their faith, labored in love, and endured in hope, but they gave Paul and team courage to continue and more meaning in their ministry. And then the third detail is they were greatly rejoicing. Not only were they grateful to God for these faithful believers, but it brought them great joy, overwhelming joy. This kind of story was incredible. This kind of story, it brought them, again, it was overwhelming. This is our hope, he says, every time we share the gospel, that they would receive it, be transformed by it quickly and decisively. This is the kind of story that we live for. Our faithfulness in the Lord can cause gratefulness in our brothers and sisters in Christ. This letter began with Paul saying, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of our God and Father." These faithful Thessalonians gave Paul and team courage to continue more meaning in ministry, and then a gushing gratefulness. But the last way our faithfulness edifies and energizes our brothers and sisters in Christ is it drives passion in prayer. It drives passion in prayer. Paul not only knew to whom credit belonged for their current faithfulness, but he knew to whom he must call upon to provide even more growth in their faith. Verse 10 says this, "Night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith." Now, this verse right here is actually the first direct indication in this letter of a possible deficiency in the faith of these Thessalonian believers. But unlike other churches, their deficiency was not due to sinful waywardness, but rather spiritual newness. They were brand new believers. They were yet young in the faith, and Paul wanted to be used by God in maturing that faith. The word perfect actually speaks of maturing them in their faith. Just because a baseball player might be a superstar in Little League does not make him a superstar in the big leagues. While he is a great player where he is in life right now, it will require lots and lots of growth before he's a great player as an adult. And that's the picture that we're gaining here concerning these Thessalonian believers. They were doing great. Great as new believers, but Paul earnestly desired to help them grow into spiritual adulthood. So they called upon the only one who could provide it, God Almighty. Among those in the court of Alexander the Great was a philosopher of outstanding ability, but very little money. And he asked Alexander the Great for some financial help. And he was told, "You can draw whatever you need from the imperial treasury." But when he requested a very, very huge amount, the treasurer refused him and went to Alexander to verify that such a large amount was authorized. When he asked Alexander, the ruler replied, he said, "Pay the money at once. This philosopher has done me a great honor by the largeness of his request. He shows that he understands both my wealth and my generosity. And that's our king. That is our king. That is why Paul and team called upon their king. What did they ask for? Well, they prayed to see their face. Earlier in this letter, we learned that Paul tried to go see them, but was hindered. So when he could stand it no longer, he sent Timothy. But here we find that even though he gets this great report, he still wants to go see them. He wants to strengthen them. So he prayed to see their face, and he prayed to strengthen their faith. While it is God who gives the increase, it is God who gives the growth, he does it through his servants. And Paul prayed that God would use him to grow up these faithful believers into spiritual adulthood. In fact, the last verses of this chapter here, it appears that Paul repeats the prayer that he had been praying for them. And Lord willing, we're going to look at that directly next week. But for now, you and I can know that our faithfulness, where we are right now, can actually energize a passion in our brothers and sisters to pray. Not only do I find myself praying for those in our congregation who have needs in physical, emotional, and financial areas, but truthfully, I most often pray for their spiritual growth. In fact, the more that they are growing and the more evidence that there is of that, the more I find myself praying for that in them. That's what drove Paul's passion and prayer. And I will tell you that I am thankful that there are those in Christ that are praying that prayer for me as well. Spiritual growth. Now, the ultimate motive in faithfulness, and I cannot close without saying this directly. The ultimate motive in our faithfulness to God is the glory of God. And again, I don't want to end this morning without emphasizing that fact. Again, the ultimate motive in our faithfulness to God is the glory of God. However, my hope is that through this lesson and seeing Paul's heart here, that through this lesson we have come to realize that our faithfulness in the Lord also has a tremendous impact on our brothers and sisters in Christ. Our faithfulness in the Lord, our simply doing what the Lord has called us to do, can actually edify and energize others. Let me read you a passage from Ephesians chapter 4. It says, Jesus gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You and I, we are interconnected. We are part of the body of Christ. We impact one another whether we know it or not. And my hope today, my hope this morning is that we understand a little better that as we personally grow in our relationship with the Lord, as we grow in faithfulness, not only does it glorify God, which is the ultimate, but it helps our brothers and sisters. It encourages them. It edifies them. Our faithfulness to the Lord, our simply doing what we have been called by the Lord to do, can energize them. That is something that our faithfulness does. Romans 14:19 says this. It says, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another." Let's pursue faithfulness. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we are just again very grateful. I myself personally, Lord, just looking at the lessons that I have learned through this book, I thank you for them. I thank you for the way that we get to see the heart of Paul here. And Lord, through the things that we've learned this morning, through the impact that we can have on our brothers and sisters in Christ by simply growing, becoming more faithful to you. Lord, I pray that we would. I pray that we would pursue those things. I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for the people that you place in our lives. And Lord God, thank you for the enabling that we have to help them, to edify them. Most of all, thank you that we have the enabling to glorify you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.